This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Happy New Year to you all. This episode is really special to me. In today's episode, we are talking with Amy Donahue. Amy is not only the owner of Hair Club for Pets, a dog grooming and cat grooming salon in Rockland, Massachusetts, but she is also my younger sister. In today's conversation, which, as you'll probably hear, is, you know, a typical conversation between two sisters, we discuss all of the things that she had to do to start her own grooming salon, all of the challenges that she faced, the rewards that she experienced because of those challenges. And really, you'll get to know her just pure love for animals and the care she gives each animal with whom she works. She's an incredible person. Her story is wonderful, and I really think that you're going to enjoy this. And what better way to start off the year than talking about something that revolves around our fur babies? If you want to learn more, check us out on patreon.com/illuminatepod. You can also follow us on social media, and as always, let us know what topics you would like to hear more. But for now, enjoy getting to know Amy. All right, welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I am your host, Megan, and today we are talking with small business owner extraordinaire, the world's best sister, best dog mom and dog auntie, and all around amazing human, my sister, Amy. Welcome, Amy.
I'm blushing. Hi.
I'm blushing. How are you? Thank you so much for kicking off
Thanks for having me.
This is the perfect, I couldn't think of a better person to talk to for the first episode that I am doing this year. So for our listeners, my sister is easily one of the coolest people I know. And that's not biased. That's factual. I know that you all were introduced to my brother last year. And so I thought this was a perfect opportunity to introduce you all to the other, or, you know, not in order of anybody's better than the other, but the remaining Donahue sibling. So, Amy, welcome.
I'm just right in the middle.
Do we need to have a podcast episode on the middle child?
We might. I feel like you get a lot of subscribers.
We're going to have to. You might be hearing from Amy again. So the reason we are talking with Amy today is not to unpack the traumas of middle child syndrome, but rather to highlight her incredible business, Hair Club for Pets. And Amy, tell us a little bit about Hair Club for Pets.
So Hair Club for Pets will be in business this July. Will be our 9th year in business, which is still so unbelievable to me. Yeah. So what we do, we're a local dog and cat grooming shop for the town of Rockland, Massachusetts.
I love
that's
that.
That's pretty much. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, I don't do any doggy daycare. I don't do any boarding. It's strictly just professional dog and cat grooming.
Perfect. So Hair Club for Pets is a hilarious name, and it basically says exactly that. You're taking care of the hair of our dogs and cats. And as a dog mom myself, I'm pretty lucky to have a dog groomer in the family. It's pretty great for our listeners. She was here yesterday and got my dog's nails done. 2 seconds. She took her, bang. It's amazing. But
It's amazing
a dog
because you
grooming
have an
business.
amazingly easy dog.
I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. Go ahead.
No, I just said it's easy because she's an amazingly good dog. She's very well behaved for her nails.
So Hair Club for Pets is a dog grooming, primarily dog grooming. I say dog, but dog and cats.
Mostly. Mm-hmm.
That you started 9 years ago, just about. So let's just go right back to the beginning, right? How did
Yeah.
this all start? And maybe tell us about how you became interested in grooming in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. So I really, as far back as I can remember, I've had a passion for animals. I mean, I would find dead animals on the street and bury them in our backyard. I don't know if our parents like that, but that's where my love for animals began. And I think back, like when you first mentioned this podcast and, you know, when I really thought about working with animals, I just keep thinking back to this one dog, my friend's golden retriever. She had the crimpiest ear hair, and I was obsessed with it. And I just wanted to cut it and play with it and brush it. And I just wanted to be involved in it. I don't know if that necessarily was when I knew I wanted to be a dog groomer, but I knew I wanted to work with animals. And I always thought I was going to be a veterinarian. When I worked, when I was in college, I needed to pay for it. So
As one does.
I got a part-time job. I had two part-time jobs. One was at a veterinarian's office, and then I got a part-time job at PetSmart.
Perfect.
I thought that my career was going to take me down the vet path. I thought I loved assisting with surgeries. I loved teching. I very, very soon realized that it was a very sad job. I could not handle the sadness and crying every day with the owners and seeing her pets, etc. While I was working at PetSmart, I was a cashier. I started off as a cashier, low man on the totem pole. And I told them immediately my interest was really to be in the dog grooming salon, just to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
Originally, I had reached out to see if I could get an internship or some sort of volunteer work at our childhood dog's grooming salon. And she shut me down with a very hard no because I had no experience.
Not
Back
even,
then, I was a little
washing or
traumatized, a little scared. I understand completely now why she turned me away without a second look, with no experience. Very hard job to train for. Well, after a year of working at PetSmart, they moved me right into the salon, and I feel like I blinked my eye and I was instantly became a bather. I instantly became a groomer. And then they bumped me up to management shortly within, I think, the first year of my grooming.
So in that time, what training did you have to do? Like, I know you just mentioned that you were turned down from, you know, one of your earlier requests to work in this industry because you didn't have any experience or training, and that it is, you know, way more involved than someone looking from the outside might think. So what were some of the steps that you took to get from, you know, let's say in this example, cashier to manager of the grooming salon?
So that number one was reliability. You know, I was a pretty good employee, I would say, on my end. I showed up, I did my job. I tried to do that little bit extra because they knew that I wanted the career bump.
Sure.
And they were looking for, you know, effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. They offered me the opportunity to start off training as a bather. As a bather, you are the lowest of low. You are just learning how the anatomy
to work
of
with
a
the
dog's
animals, I
body.
guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to handle them, how to read their body language. A lot of times it's overlooked, but dog grooming is an extremely dangerous job.
I would
And
imagine
you
so.
can afford
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
there's a
we
lot of
can get
teeth
into that
involved.
too. Exactly. And surprisingly, nails can be just as hurtful. Especially cut nails, they will
Ouch.
scratch you. But what were we saying? So yeah, you just pretty much learn how to wash a dog properly, which I
Okay.
know sounds very childish. However, there's a lot more to it because I always say the most important part of the entire groom is the bath. If
Okay.
the dog's not clean, your job is pointless. The
Right.
hair does not cut right, the dog it, nothing works. So the bath is the most important. So you're learning the basics, but essentially you're learning the core of what the dog needs. He
Got
needs to
it.
be clean. So then what PetSmart offered me was they will send you to grooming school and pay for it if you this is something you're interested in. I got the opportunity to do that. You have to sign a 2-year contract saying
Oh,
that you're going
yeah.
to work for them. So they don't waste their time and money and
Of
effort, et
course.
cetera. So I took the opportunity. I quit the vet. I went to grooming school full time. And after grooming school is a few months long. And
Okay.
then when you come back, you have to intern. So
Okay.
you have to do X amount of animals under what was my boss at the time to make sure you're doing it proficiently.
Got it.
You know, you're not missing little. A lot of groomers tend to cut corners, and you can't do that when you're learning. You have to just
Right. I mean,
go
you're
down.
trying to understand the basics of your trade, right? And trying to make
Right.
sure that you're in charge of a little being, maybe sometimes not so
Correct.
little, but yeah, you want to make
Essentially,
sure you're taking
yeah.
care of them.
Yeah. My job, I tell every client that comes into my door, I just tell them that your dog is in my care for however many hours I have it. And while I have your dog in my care, it is my job to make sure it is safe, healthy, and it comes back to you alive.
And I'm
That's it.
sure, I
Same
mean,
way it came in.
yeah, I mean, you know, as a pet owner yourself and myself, if I left the little baby angel with anybody, I would want to make sure that that was paramount in whatever they were doing. Right. So I
Right.
think that is, I mean,
That's what I try to come across
yeah.
with, like how I would want to leave my pet in the
Absolutely.
environment. So I try
Absolutely.
to like a safe, positive environment that people want to leave their pets with me, because
Yeah.
that's really all that matters. As long as the pet parent is comfortable with their essentially their child in my
Right, right,
care, that's
right.
what matters.
Yeah.
So, and that's what matters to me too, because I love animals. I don't want to hurt an animal, but however, it is a difficult job to do. And sometimes, you know, we get hurt, the animal can get hurt,
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's par
It
for
can
the
just
course.
be one of those Murphy's Law situations if, you know, kind of certain protocols or practices aren't adhered to, I suppose, right?
Correct, correct.
Yeah.
And we, you know, you do everything you can do and you can control all you can control. But in the end of the day, they're live animals and you don't know
Right.
what they're thinking.
Right.
But,
So I'm guessing, or I'd imagine that you got a lot of that training and kind of that ethos instilled in you when you were doing your training and then interning, right? Or what were some of the things that
cool.
your manager at the time or the person under whom you were interning, you know, were there certain things that she was really strict on that
Yep.
she made sure that you were strict on and that you kind of continued on through
De
your career?
definitely, definitely. Handling is what you probably learn the most, and technique.
Okay.
Handling is probably, I would say, the most important though, because if you can handle the dog in front of you safely, your groom will come out better. The dog's time will be more enjoyable, your
Right.
time will be more enjoyable, and the dog is most likely less, or I should say, less likely to be nicked or cut or hurt in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah. So, a couple of, I had two very good, I would say, grooming mentors through my career so
Yeah.
far. Very different. But both set of skills were equally as important to me. One taught me handling very well. I pride myself on my ability to handle the more aggressive pets because of this gentleman. He really taught me how to stay away from their mouth. Read their body language. If you can just, you know, pay attention and you almost become one with that animal. You can feel their body, you can read their body.
Yeah.
You know, he taught me if you constantly are just touching that pet, you know, you can feel a lot of incidents about to happen before they happen with you and the pet. Protect yourself. And then my female mentor taught me more of the, I would say, bonding with the pet. That's equally as important. The more each dog has to trust you, they're less likely to hurt you if they trust you. So
because there's no need to hurt.
Exactly. Cause they know that I'm not going to hurt them.
So
he taught me bonding with the animal. And I would say the two most important things or the two things that matter to me most in the grooming process would be bonding and technique. And, you know, just an example for you with the bonding. I have a little poodle. His name is Little Red. He's red. He's been turned away from everywhere. He was adopted. When he first came to me, I could not touch him. I could not touch him with my clippers. I could not touch him at all. I don't even put a muzzle on him at all anymore. And we kiss. He gives me kisses, and that's my
red.
Favorite. But that's just the favorite part of the job. But so it matters. Bonding matters.
It really does
matter. So, and it's a lot of times people don't think, but like as a groomer, you grow to love certain dogs like they're your own.
They come regularly. You get to know them and their personalities, or you know,
totally
the nuances about them.
Yeah,
right?
Like their little quirks and and every dog is so different. And like, it's not like I feel a lot of people just think like dog grooming is almost like a conveyor belt type of job where you just, you know, kind of, you know, wash, dry, cut. But it's not that at all. It's not that, because every dog is just so different, and every dog has their own little personalities, and cats too. I should say.
I would imagine
Yeah, the majority of our clientele are dogs.
So, kind of taking a step back and thinking about, you know, how you started to, let's say, you know, make those connections with the animals and establish yourself as a more, you know, prominent groomer. When or how long did it take you to get from that apprenticeship or internship type of space into like, okay, now I've got my own base of clients and I've got my own kind of setup here now?
Yeah. So I would say from the time I finished my apprenticeship, I would say about 2 years it took me to like really build my own specific clientele and following. I just did it, and it be word of mouth. Client referred this client, that referral referred somebody else, and then that's just how my name got out there. And then you know, I feel like I blinked, and then 2 years later I had my own wait list going.
And I mean, that's while you were still at PetSmart, right? Like you started going and started building your clientele at that place.
That's also when they asked me if I would be interested in taking over as management in the salon.
That's where I was leading to now. I know you, part of, you know, our kind of pre-conversation and preparation that I was doing for this, I know your experience or one of your later experiences, let's say on the corporate side, right, was in that management. So what was that like going from, okay, I'm kind of not necessarily like an independent worker, an individual contributor, which you kind of were, right? You were managing your own dogs or your client list, but now overseeing that in addition to the operations and kind of the day-to-day of the salon. Talk us through that.
So that was a little overwhelming for me at the time. I was in my young 20s.
I was going to say, you were young.
Yeah, I was in my young 20s. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, looking back, still immature myself. But so the salon at the time, I managed 13 girls that Oof. Were my peers, and then I became their boss. So that was a little bit of a
tough.
Hard transition for certain mm-hmm. girls. You know, they saw me as their peer, and now I'm giving them orders. So that was a little tricky to navigate. And I don't like to ruffle feathers. So that was it, that was a good positive learning experience for me, but also very hard. But it gave me a lot of skills, and it taught me a lot on how to manage all different types of personalities in a high stress environment. So I'm very grateful for all the training I got with that. But it was a lot. I mean, I went from just grooming my dogs and going home to I had paperwork. I made a schedule for all these girls. I had corporate meetings. I had district meetings. I had,
Certain
you
like
know,
KPIs and metrics to meet and things to
correct.
account for.
So it was a lot. However, they told me if I didn't like it, it didn't work out, I could always step back down.
That's a nice
So
offer.
7 years later, I was still the manager. It was really hard, but like I said, you get used to the role that you're given, and you just step up to the plate and you do it. So I was grooming my own clientele still while managing and doing that side.
Interesting.
But eventually you start to age and you can't keep up with that environment anymore. I couldn't groom. And most grooming is commission-based job. Even though I got the promotion to management, management was still a commission-based job. So my money only came from when I was grooming. So all that paperwork was essentially free to me.
Because it takes away from your work on the animals, and you're not making that commission.
Correct. The corporate world gives you a pay bump in your commission of 10%. Unfortunately, it's not enough. They think, it was explained to me that that covers the extra paperwork, but it really doesn't when it comes to it. So eventually, about 9 years ago, or I guess I should say it was probably about 10 years ago, one of the girls I managed had also previously been a manager on the floor. So she was, you know, a committed, dedicated worker. She knew what it took to run a business. She knew what it took to manage people. She had all those skills. And then I taught her how to groom. So I gave her those skills. So, you know, we were both aging, very high stress environment. Corporate wants a lot from each individual human being. Anyone that works in the corporate world can attest for that. And we didn't know how much longer we could keep up with that. So we had started talking about, you know, I've always been interested in, you know, opening my own business. You too. And we have our little sneaky conversations, and this went on for about a year. And we were like, are we ever going to really do this? Like, and then the corporate world, you know, they just, money, 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 money. Everything's about money. And unfortunately, we're about the animals. So we reached our breaking point with the corporate world. And it gave us a lot of skills. It gave us a lot of training. And it gave us all those good safety policies. There's a lot of safety that goes into dog grooming that it's just not thought about by a lot of people.
Again, to the outside person, you wouldn't think about all of those, let's say, details,
or
right?
Should
or
you? Because,
right.
So we learned, we took everything we got from them, and we're grateful for all of that training. And we decided to bite the bullet and open our own shop. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done. And it was the best thing I've ever done.
So again, right, it's really interesting to kind of have the conversation from this perspective because, I had like kind of that front row seat to what you were doing. I saw, I was away at college during the time, or, I was living in different states at the time, but I was always kind of aware. But it's really interesting to bring this part of your story to light and kind of go back and maybe revisit that. And I think about it, and even 10 years ago, right, or 9 years ago, it's like starting our own business, like that's insane. That like it's wild. It's wild, not in a bad way. Like, holy crap, I can't even imagine, or like can't believe, like I'm in awe that my little sister is opening up her own business. Like, where
Yeah,
would you
I didn't
even
even believe my
start?
own self. So
So yeah, let's
honestly, that
take
was the
us back to
scariest
like,
part.
how did you
Where
start?
is our shop gonna be?
Yep,
That was
okay.
number one.
Right.
So it was a little trickier too because as we talked about, PetSmart is willing to pay and send you to grooming school however they want your time back. So we get, the 2-year contract was well over.
Right.
However, there's no time cap. When you decide and you agree to become a groomer for PetSmart, you sign a contract that says first whether you're fired or you quit, 6 months after that period, you may not work within 10 miles of that store that you work
Oh,
for
a
6
little bit of
months.
non-compete action.
Exactly. It was a
Yep.
non-compete contract. So we found a spot 10.1 miles away from our store because we had both talked. We had been saving money for quite some time. We did not,
Yeah.
we both agreed we did not want a business loan. We both wrote out, a very mock draft business plan
Yeah.
for ourselves with finances, et cetera, and we could cover it ourselves.
That's incredible.
So we found it was like serendipitous the way our shop fell into our lap. It was for rent. It was affordable.
Wow.
And the landlord was okay with us grooming animals in there.
Wow.
Not every landlord is okay with that because there's a lot of water work that goes behind the scenes, like into
Yeah.
the water, the sewer water.
Oh, I
So
see,
that
I see.
was that's a little tricky as well. But we can get into that with when we had to open passing inspection. So we did it all right. We did it all right, but the right way took a long time.
Shoving wads of dog hair.
That, our plumbing inspection was our hardest one to pass. Yeah.
Oof.
But it's all for safety. That's all.
No, it totally makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's once we found and secured the spot, we're again paying for all of this out of our own pocket. So we
Wow.
went to the internet and went on used supplies, used tools, used kennels, used everything.
Oh, wow.
Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist was actually still very big at the time. We
Okay,
got a
yeah.
lot of things for, next to nothing, free. Stuff like that, just to get us going.
Wow.
And then yeah, like I said, we had to pass a building inspection, plumbing inspection, fire, et cetera, all just to make sure. And then you want to find a insurer,
Okay.
someone that
Yeah.
insures commercial dog grooming. What else? And then you gotta get clients. You need people.
Oh, those, right?
Yep.
The things that pay you.
So yeah, so we, once we started getting the supplies into the shop, then we started going to each surrounding town, including the town that we're in, town hall. We got the list of licensed dogs for the town, and we went to
Wow.
work and we sent out coupons to every single address in every single town that owned a dog.
Oh my God. So at that time, it was just you and your partner doing
I
that,
did have a
right?
business partner at the time, yes. And we just put in the man hours,
My God.
just filling out postcards. We had we went to Vistaprint and we made grand opening, come on in with this postcard, receive $5 off your first groom. And that's what we did. And we just went, I went to every dog park. I put flyers up. We went to everywhere we thought that our contract would allow us to advertise without getting penalized.
Got it. So we were like with a measuring tape from PetSmart going around like, oh, I can go to this park and this park. No,
Google Maps.
I got you. Yeah.
Google Maps.
A little bit more sophisticated than a measuring tape.
Crap every example. Location we went to. But yeah, that was a little bit tricky though too, because you have to navigate that. Because we have watched PetSmart go after people before. They don't mess around with their contracts. So
I would imagine not, right? A corporation like that probably have like their legal thing locked down, right? And any little misstep would be just no problem.
Powerhouse corporation, yeah. And we're just two little females trying to open this, you know?
Sending postcards.
With our postcards and our postcard stamps.
But I mean, that's incredible. Like, I knew,
we did.
You know, even for me, I knew you had to do a lot of this kind of, I'm not going to call it like guerrilla business.
Grunt work, right?
But just hearing like some of those things, it's examples for, you know, it's illuminating for me in that like, oh my God, yeah, like you really did have to like beat the pavement, like legit, like kind of go old school and like just those brass tacks things. Like even like 10 years ago, there was a little bit of this, you know, online marketing and stuff. But I think to your point, to get to your clientele or that desired clientele, you had to like literally beat the pavement, right? And it's incredibly impressive. Like, I don't know if you appreciate the work that you've done and like the stuff that you've done, but this is not for the faint of heart. And you've done it, and you continue to do it, and you've built a successful brand. And it's just like, it's mind blowing. Like, not in a way that like, oh, I can't believe she did it, but like, dang, like I'm impressed. Like,
thank you so much.
And
for
I hope
saying
you know
all
our
that
listeners. It's true. And I'm not just saying that because we're on a podcast. Like, this is a great medium for folks to hear about you and, you know, hopefully be inspired and impressed by you the way I am. But also to hear some of these like I would say examples. Yeah. Right. Like, maybe I want to start my own business. Maybe I'm having conversations with a friend of mine at some location. Oh God, what would that even look like? And you can shed light on, you know, some of those things
and
examples.
I will be here to say, I am not, and my sister knows this better than anybody, I am not for the corporate world. I am not for the computer world. I am not a tech human being. And if I can open a business, anyone can open a business if they really have their heart in it. I just want to put that out there.
Of course.
But back to the, I just wanted to touch on like, do I realize what I've done? It was actually a huge ego hit when we were opening the business more than anything, which,
tell me about that.
I was so well known in the grooming world for, you know, at PetSmart, I was like, you have an aggressive dog that gets turned away from everywhere. She's your girl. You go to her. She'll get the job done. And I did.
Yeah.
Now I'm opening a business where no one knows who I am.
Ooh.
I don't have clientele. I don't have a wait list. 4 weeks long. I don't have any of that. So it was actually, I never knew that was a feeling that was totally new at the time. But man, did my ego take a hit.
That's a really interesting. It makes perfect sense.
Stuff you don't think about. And I was
like,
just like,
you don't know who I am.
Is this? Yeah. Like, I was like, this is a mistake. And I didn't want to do it. Mm. And I was broke. We were broke. Yeah. Absolutely broke. And we had maybe one or two dogs when we first opened come in a day. And that was not making up for all the debt we had, you know, put ourselves in and stuff like that.
Yep.
But like I said, you do more advertising, mm-hmm. you get your name out there, you do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And if the grunt work, like we said, you can eventually be successful.
Yeah.
But I Yeah, I don't think about all those, tasks and just day-to-day grunt work that we had to do, and just the driving to this, that, and the other place just to get a deal on a table or whatever
Oh
we
my
were buying.
God.
But
But I mean,
you just
that's the impressive thing, right? And I think you made a really good point, right? Even nowadays with the access that, some have to social media marketing or whatever, or materials, whether you're doing kind of a brick and mortar business like you did, or, an online business, like you still have to start somewhere, right? And it
Right,
is
correct.
not going to be instantaneously
Yeah,
gratifying. And that's just, the
and it's
fact of the
not
matter.
glamorous. Yeah,
Right.
yeah, yeah.
But you did
That's
it, right? You did it and you did it well. And that, is one of, the many things that I admire about you both in your professional
Thank
kind of world, but also in just this is your personality. You're one of the most resilient people that I know, right? And
Thank you.
whatever you are faced with, you just do it, right? Like you said, I was early 20s. I had no management experience. Now I had a team of 13 girls. What the hell? But you did it. I'm
Oh
going to
yeah.
start my own business. I have no idea to do what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
And none of that, like, it sounds so cool and glamorous when we talk about it on this podcast,
No.
but the whole all these changes, and my sister knows I'm not good with change. It terrifies me. It just 'cause all of this, my entire career, it's just constantly been like nerves, like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah,
Is this the
yeah,
right move for me? Like,
yeah.
and then everyone else, oh, you own your own business, how impressive. But inside, I'm just like, is it?
Oh
Oh, is it? I don't know. There's just
God.
so much.
Yeah.
But
But I mean, that's what you do, right? And you say you're not good with change, and maybe, you don't like it, but who does, in some capacity? But I've never seen you flinch from it either, right?
no,
So,
I try. I will always try.
yes. And that is one thing that I, would guess that you would probably say, like, if you're going to do something like this, or you're going to try something new, you have to try and you have to give it
Yeah,
some
you have to really try.
significant effort and
Yeah.
time, right?
Yeah, time. But that's the hardest thing I feel
Oh,
to give
yeah.
for anybody.
No, I know, right? Because you want to know, and it's scary. Like, hey, I'm gonna put myself out there, right? Whatever,
Yeah.
financially,
It's really
physically,
terrifying to
personally.
be very financially secure
Sure.
with insurance
Oh
and
God,
paid
yeah.
time off and to go to nothing.
Right,
You have to
right.
find your own insurance, you have to find your own safety net.
Yeah, and I mean I know we're talking, it might seem like we're talking about a lot of serious stuff, but it's important, right? And
Oh,
there's a lot
sure.
of positivity and beauty around this too, right? Like it may not be the most
Oh
comfortable
my
thing,
gosh,
but
yes.
there's a lot of good things. But one thing, you just mentioned, it made me think of something that, oh, you all know your own business. That's like so cool and fun. But many may not realize like the dedication that you have to put in. And to your point, like if you're
Yeah.
not doing it, you don't have that fail safe of like, if I don't work, I'm still going to get my paycheck every 2 weeks, right? Like from a, let's say a 9 to 5.
Right.
And I remember you told me a story, right? You were trying to plan something with a group of friends. And, again, to your point, if you don't work, you don't make money, right? And your business doesn't
Correct.
thrive. And one
Yeah.
said something to the effect of like, oh, well, you work for yourself. So like, just take some time off. But that doesn't necessarily work, right? Like, why not?
Correct. That was my hardest part to navigate when I first opened. I'm getting better as I age, but being a people pleaser,
Yeah.
you don't want to explain to people you're broke from opening a business and now you have to work to get paid. But now, even still, like, down the road, here we are 9 years later. Yes, it's amazing. I love that I own my own business and there is so many pros. And yes, I have complete control of my own schedule. That is correct. I still don't get paid if I don't work.
Right.
So there's that. But a lot of people just see, and I feel like this goes to a lot of business owners. They just hear, oh, you can do whatever you want. You own it. You're the boss. Sure. Yes, to a point. But the boss has to be there to manage sometimes and to work and show face and, take care of those daily tasks. But yes, and being commission-based, you don't get paid if you don't work. So that is number one. And it's a tough concept for like salary to understand stuff
Oh
like
yeah.
that. But
Yeah. No,
yeah, there, I mean, there's a ton of pros and just, I mean, the animals alone are a pro for me, but just, as far as having control of the clientele that comes through the door, prices, policy, safety policies, things like that. I'm in complete control of, and I do enjoy being in control of all of those.
You really? To our
I
listeners,
don't
we're
really
both Virgos. So if,
really love control.
it tracks.
But
But in that same
yeah, and
vein of, the positives, right? Like you do have that freedom. And now I mean, not just until this moment, you've already seen a lot of this, but you're seeing the fruits of your labor, right? And the fruits of that
right,
effort and the, the benefits and rewards of that sacrifice. And you're able to continue to create the business that you want, right? And you're able to can oh God, English is hard today, create the environment that
music.
you work.
Yeah, that's what I like. Like I can create the environment that we work in and the girls that work for me now that I like that I actually, again, with the control, but I have control. I can make it a fun, positive environment in a very stressful job. So that's what I enjoy.
That's amazing, right? And having that, foundation of that management, I'm sure, I mean, I personally know this, but it makes those, your employees feel that and understand that and understand like your priorities and your, kind of vision of, what you want to do with Hair Club for Pets. And I don't even know if we've said the name
Definitely.
of your business. Oh yeah, we did
Definitely.
earlier.
We did. We did. Yeah. Well, you did. Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. I really do feel like it helps because understanding each person and bonding with each employee helps me manage them in a way that I feel is beneficial for each individual person because everyone responds to, criticism and management and even compliments differently. So,
I mean, there's so much that you have to consider, but
but no, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. You don't just, it's not just you all day, every day. I, you know, it's myself now, but I'm still managing. I only manage two girls now, which is a lot easier than 13. And I don't have my bosses to answer to. So if I don't like something, I just nip it in the bud. I don't have to go through the chain of command to see if I can make changes. So that's really nice.
I mean, that's a freedom that is must be nice sometimes.
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice.
Sometimes that red tape is unpleasant. But that said, let's kind of just go back to, I'd love to hear some, maybe some anecdotes of, some of that, the reason why you went in, like the animals, right? Like, what are some really beautiful things that have come out of this that you're getting to work with the animals? Like, if you have a story or I don't know, anything you want to
I'm
share
like,
about
oh my gosh. I'm
that?
like, I don't even know where to begin. I love working with the aggressive animals. That is
Interesting.
my passion. I love all the animals, but I mean, like Little Red is, really, he was probably my hardest case and my most successful. But I'm, I just, I'm like, I can't think of one, but I mean, I've had dogs that I've done since they were 8 weeks old until they
Oh.
were 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I've been grooming for 18 years. So,
Yeah.
and not every dog lasts for 17 years, unfortunately. But, you know, and it breaks your heart when they pass
Yeah.
because you get so close to them. But I can't, I'm like, I'm really drawing a blank on specifics here
And that's
of
fine. I mean,
major part of the job, but like just every each individual day, like for example, last Friday, I have a dog that I'm working with right now, getting him to really trust me, and he let me put my nose up to his nose. And I
Oh.
know that doesn't sound significant, but it's huge. It's
But
huge in
for
the
a
trust
scared
world.
dog or a nervous dog, that's huge,
Oh
right? They're
yeah.
allowing you in your
And that
state or
dog
in their
will.
space.
Yeah, and he there's a very good possibility that he
He
will
would have
rip
bit
my
your
nose
face
right off
off.
my face. But I'm trusting him and he feels that, so he's going to trust me back. So I do little risky things like that once in a while just to push and test my luck and my trust with the dog.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it is rewarding. And
Yeah,
that
and I think
though
at this point, right,
things
you know, you can do that internal calculated risk too. It's not necessarily luck. It's
definitely, definitely.
you know, pushing gently the boundaries between you and that
You're not going
animal,
to get
right?
anywhere.
Exactly,
But
right? You have to make some progress with them.
yeah.
And I think, you
And
know,
then,
that's why, you know, our listeners, Amy has a wait list. She's booked out for months in advance. And it's because your clients know, and the, you know, the parents, the owners of these animals know that their pet, their child, their little, you know, fur baby is in the best possible hands, right?
I
And so
hope
that's
so.
something that also, you know, is admirable is not even the right word, but, you know, like incredible about
It's
you
a good
is that,
feeling. That is a good
yeah,
feeling, I will say, when
it's
I
not
know that someone
only,
is
you know,
capable.
the work that you've done, that kind of gritty work to build up a new client base and take this risk, but also it speaks volumes of who you are as a person, right? Like you build the trust and you can read people, animals, and build that connection. And it's really beautiful thing to see, right? Especially as an older sister, just like the pride. It's incredible. It's really incredible. And again, I'm not just saying that because we're on the podcast. Like
No, I
it's
appreciate it.
amazing.
I
You're
feel the
amazing.
same way. I really do. I really do. And I don't even feel like, again, back going back to like, I feel like people are like, oh, you own your own business. And no, yeah, I guess. Just my
Well, I mean, it's
job.
so part of who you are now, right? It's ingrained in your
It
like in your
is.
DNA, and working with animals and you know the welfare of animals is ingrained in your DNA. And in
That's the
that
best
kind
part,
of,
being able to help the animals. That really
yeah,
is.
right? Because grooming is not just it's not just going and you know putting
Oh, it's
some
sanitary for them.
polish or polish on the dog's nails. Like this is a very critical
Hygiene.
part of
Yeah.
hygiene and health for the animal, right?
It's a
Yeah.
lot of things. The hair gets too long in front of their eyes, you know, they can develop eye issues, eye
Yeah.
irritation. Think,
Right.
you know, and that's just one
Matted,
part
you
of it.
know, skin issues. I'd imagine like
Matted
the list
pet,
goes long.
heat
So that
stroke, everything.
actually reminds me of something. Speaking of facing, you know, difficulties, start having your own business and a brick and mortar business during the pandemic, right? Like let's talk about that. And how were you able to survive and thrive during that environment? And the reason I asked that question is because I think I know the answer. It's, you know, that critical health, but I bet that would be really interesting for our listeners to hear about. Like, what was that
That was terrifying.
Oh, I can only imagine.
We got the word on the Monday that we had to
Oh.
close all business at 12 o'clock on the Tuesday. I believe it was like March 23rd,
Something like
something like
21st,
that.
I think. Why? I don't know
Something
why that
right
date
around
is
there.
burnt in my brain.
We had less than 24 hours. So I called all my Tuesday dogs and said, get here at 6:30 a.m. We're going to get you all groomed by 12.
Wow.
And I, so double the stress, my business partner was out on maternity leave during this time.
Oh, good.
So I was managing
By
both
yourself.
of our clients by
Oof.
ourselves. That started, so we thought we were going to be closed for 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. I
So,
mean, that's what I thought. I was going to be working from home for 2 weeks, right? Here we are, 3.5 years later.
right. That's what everyone thought. Everyone thought
Yeah.
2 weeks, 2 weeks. So, just again, having all this training at PetSmart, managing 13 girls that say they're going to be back to work the next day and then they're not, you don't reschedule any clients until know that you're going to be at work.
Right.
So luckily that training came into play and I said, we will call all, I called 2 weeks worth of clients and I said, we will call you when we know for a fact that we can reopen. Boy, was I happy we did that because 2 weeks turned into 2 months.
Oof, yeah.
Wait, yeah, the end of the Tuesday after Memorial Day, we were able to open back up.
That's right.
So we kept, and I took everyone who I canceled in order of who I canceled, and then I took all the messages because every day our voicemail was completely full
I bet.
with messages for dogs that wanted to get in as soon as possible, as soon as we
Oof.
got reopened.
Yeah.
So needless to say, we had about a couple, I would say about 1,000 dogs that needed to get groomed.
Oh
And the
my
day
God.
we reopened, the phone rang off the hook. But surviving during the pandemic for those 2 months, not working, not getting paid,
Oh, yeah.
the government actually let self-employed people sign up for unemployment, which
Oh,
was
that's right. Yeah,
really
of
great.
course.
Yeah, so we did get the unemployment,
Good.
but we were not able to take taxes out of that. So we, still had
Yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah.
manage that, but that's fine. And I secretly groomed a couple of clients that I've known for a
I won't
long
say
time.
anything. Nobody heard anything.
On the second, because I was drowning.
Well, I mean, I know
But
a lot of people had to do, something similar, whether it was, hairdressers or some other service that maybe could, be done on the table. So, yeah.
it's hard,
It's
yeah, and it was hard because part of my issue is I will never book a dog if I know that I don't safely have enough time for him. I'll never rush through an animal. It's not fair to them. But we tried to get as many dogs in as possible. Like
Yeah, because
you
I,
had to.
going back to that, the health significance of what you do, right? I'm sure those dogs, especially if they haven't been touched in several months, or cats that haven't been touched in several months that are used to having regular need that regular maintenance, it was probably kind
It's
of like
true.
dire,
It's true.
right?
And that was really hurting my heart during that because, like, I
Yeah.
knew some of my clients, like, I knew when they were due for their groom versus when they were going to get their groom. And that really killed me because, like, I knew, because I care about the pet. I mean,
Right.
it's not the pet parent who I cared about necessarily, but it was the pet who
Right,
can't do
right.
anything for themselves.
Right. They're
I am their
totally
help.
dependent on you for,
Right. And
this
that was
part of their
really, really
life.
hard.
Yeah.
That was worse than the money, honestly, on just knowing how bad some of them were struggling, like with the hair. And some pet parents, their animals, they can't take a scissor to their face. They're automatically going to
No,
cut
I
that
would
pet.
never trust myself. I mean, that's why I, even for example, I feel like I should be able to trim my own dog's nails, but I would never because I'm
No.
terrified, terrified. That's why I come to you.
Yep.
Thank God.
And she's tricky. I mean, her nails are black too, so they're tricky.
Yeah,
Scary.
I wouldn't even, no, not even a million years. I'm leaving that to the professional.
Yeah, which most
So.
people will, and it's that just it was so hard knowing that the dogs couldn't get their haircuts and the
Yeah.
cats. It was that was honestly the hardest part.
Yeah. But fortunately, we have, kind of made it to the other side, and things are, quote unquote, back to some new whatever normal is now. I don't know.
I will
But
say, if
as
I
we're kind
can,
of, wait, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I will say, so I know that the pandemic hurt a lot of businesses and it did hurt like, during the time. But I am very lucky because during the pandemic, every single person adopted a dog.
Ah,
So
yes.
the
Case in point,
pandemic
right here.
actually, in the end, helped my business. where, for example, January and February are usually a slower period during the dog grooming season. It's just everyone gets their dogs groomed for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and no one's ready to be groomed in January because everyone just got
just fresh.
So they
cuts,
used to
right?
be dead seasons. They're not there. There are no dead seasons since the pandemic because there's so many pets now that need to be groomed that we don't have a slow season anymore. And I will selfishly say that I'm very grateful that the pandemic did help.
I mean, yeah, you got to take it where you can get it,
I
right?
Hate to say that. I hate to say that because it did.
No,
you know,
I understand what you mean. And it's not that you're, you know, you're not celebrating it per se, but it,
no, oh
you know,
gosh, no, never,
it's,
never,
it's
never.
It's a silver lining, a I guess,
thing.
For you, or a, you know, little element of a silver lining.
Yeah.
So that said,
was a
you know,
hard
you're
time.
Booming. You're booming now, right? And I know you have a wait list and, you know, walk-ins are kind of a laughable concept for you, but where do you see yourself as, you know, we're kind of wrapping up our time together this evening. Like, where do you see yourself taking this business? What are some of your future plans for growth and evolution?
It's funny that, because we're actually just talking about that currently at work right now. We have outgrown the space that we're in, which is a good problem to have.
Definitely.
Not complaining. We just, you know, we tend to run out of kennels quickly during the day now, and we've just outgrown it. So I'm in a 4-year lease currently, and that is up in 2 years. So I will be looking into bigger spaces, as a matter of fact. Unfortunately, we're never going to get the rent that we have now. We're in a very good setup, but unfortunately, you know.
But, you know, with that higher rent could potentially
unless
be, expand your client base, expand the business that you do.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's
and
exciting.
I really do, you know, going back to the whole nothing changes if nothing changes, which scares me. But, you know, I could definitely use another groomer and or multiple other groomers, but we don't have the space right now for that, or the kennel space, but, you know. So, I would say within the next 2 years, in 2025 will be our 10-year being in business, which is super exciting. So that's when I really think I'm going to really start to push an expansion.
Yeah. And I mean, that gives you time to prep and plan, right? And take all of the experience that you have thus far and put it to the next step, at the next phase.
Right. Right. Because, you know, you can't get stagnant in your business. You constantly have to change. And like my sister knows, I'm very old school when it comes to everything, and all, like, even
you still write checks.
I still pay my bills with checks.
Only 38 year old.
I
do all my online banking and my sister's writing checks. I fucking love it.
And mailing them at the post office. No, I pay some things online.
Ooh, you're so progressive.
But but I have to get out of my own comfort zone and change to expand and grow as a person and business. So
I know it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Am I right? Or am I right?
And once you do it, you're like, why did I wait so long to do
these?
I know.
And I mean, that's a universal concept for sure, right? For everybody, whatever you can apply it to, it makes sense. And in that vein, you know, I'm sure that's one of them, but what would you tell the Amy that's just starting out? Like, go back to the beginning of, you know, I'm going to start Hair Club for Pets and this is going to be a crazy new thing. And I don't know, what am I doing? What would you tell that Amy?
I would say, don't wait so long and believe in yourself. Like I said before, if I can open a business, anybody can open a business. And I would just tell her, don't be so scared and try to believe in yourself a little more and just know
what
all
you're doing.
The skills are there. You got to use them. That's all.
That's amazing.
But
that's amazing.
Don't wait so long.
And for those of you listening in the greater Boston area, and maybe you have a four-legged or, you know, Multi-legged. I know there's not always four, but
Sorry.
a little fur baby. How could people get in touch with you or a hold of you if they're in the Greater Boston area and they're looking
Oh,
for a groomer?
yeah. So we are on Facebook, Hair Club for Pets. You can reach out and email us at any time, hairclubforpets. At gmail.com, and it's
The
hairclubfor4
number four.
pets. Yep, at gmail.com. And we also have a website, hairclubforpets.com.
Perfect.
And they
And I'll
can
put
call
all of
us
that.
anytime. I was
Excellent.
just going
I'll
to give
put
the
all of
number
that
if you want.
info. And we're actually building a new one, aren't we? We'll put all
Yes.
that info in the notes for this episode too. So, if you or you know anybody in the Greater Boston area, I mean, when I say best of the best dog groomer right here, I'm not making that up. And it's not
Thank you
biased.
so
It's
much.
factual.
And
It's not a bias.
if you do call the shop, always tell me if you heard this podcast, because I'd
Ooh,
love
that
to be
would be
able to give my
interesting.
sister feedback as well.
I
Yeah.
know, right? Hey, I heard
I
this
always love to
podcast.
know where referrals come from and things like that, so I can
Definitely.
thank people. So
Definitely. And, just if you would humor us in the last, few minutes here, this is, I think I know the answers, but I'm not gonna assume. These are a couple end of show questions we ask all of our, guests. And given that this is a podcast, are you listening to any podcasts right now or any podcast-like thing that you would want to share?
I am not.
Okay. No. Well, you can,
I'm sorry.
except for this one, right?
Well, obviously Illuminate I listen to, of course. But no,
Mean, you're busy. You're trying to mount a business, so we'll give you the pass.
I'm really not on, I really don't have like listen to anything at work because I have to hear for growling, I have
True.
to hear for the phone ringing, things like that. So I don't listen to anything at work. And then I'm just constantly moving around and doing things. I'm
No.
usually never listening to things, or like
No.
I'll have like the radio on in the background or the TV on in the background just for noise.
Yeah.
But no,
No, it makes sense. I know. I mean, you're a busy human. You got stuff
I
to do.
I feel terrible saying that, but it's just honest.
No, I mean it's not a thing at all. Like there's no, like I said, no right or wrong. Just curious, right? Because we like to share and we like
Oh,
to hear
definitely.
what
I
other
would love
folks are
to get
listening
some
to, right?
recommendations of some good ones.
I know. And then any books that you're reading right now? Any or any, kind of
You guys will not
publications?
care about any of the books that I'm reading right now. They're all animal related.
Well, yeah, so we want to hear about it.
Yeah, they're just it they're
People
dog
care. People love
diseases,
their animals and people love animals,
actual
right?
animal diseases. I'm doing a lot of reading right now on the new flu type virus that's going around in the
Oh,
dog
of course.
community. Yeah, so most of my reading that I do at is mainly animal facts and animal diseases and just animal
Yeah.
related things, keeping myself as up to date on current things that I need to know as possible.
Yeah, which is critical, right? Again, people are trusting you, and you want to make sure that you are as well versed as you could possibly be.
Yeah, my grooming magazines. Those are my main reads.
It's your stuff, right? That's it's
Yeah,
if you weren't, I'd be concerned, right?
yeah,
And
that would
then
be a problem.
any other little pearl of wisdom or anything that you would like to share with us?
I guess I should say, if you have a passion for animals, pursue it. You might love it, you might hate it, but
You
you
never
should
know.
always try,
I love that.
because working with animals is honestly, it's extremely, extremely hard, and you never know what's going to happen, but it is so great. And you could be having the worst day and you get one little kiss from a dog and the
Oh.
day's, and I really like, if you have a passion for animals, just try it out. There's so many different career paths, training,
Yeah.
grooming, therapy work within the
Yeah,
hospitals. There's so many different options for you out there. So if you love animals, just look into it, or
I
reach
love
out to
that.
me. I can help too. I know a lot of industries out there, so
Yeah.
they're always
And
they're
we'll
more
put
than
your
welcome.
email. I'll put the Hair Club for Pet email,
More than
and I
welcome.
know it goes right to you. So,
It does. I'm the only one that responds to the Facebook for Hair Club for Pets page. So
Perfect.
you'll be
That's good to
talking
know.
directly with me. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amy, thank you so much. I wish,
Thank you
I
so much.
forget that we're,
I don't
actually
know if
doing a
this.
podcast. We're just chatting, right? Because that's what we do.
I know.
But I am so grateful
No,
for your
really.
time, and thank you for sharing,
I'm
your
so honored to be
experience and
asked
your
for this.
passion with us today. It's been amazing. And yeah, we'll definitely have to revisit that middle child experience episode. I think we're on to something there.
We'll illuminate each position in the sibling world.
All right. We'll start with middle, right? Because middle child never starts first.
Okay.
All right, Amy. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. She's incredible, isn't she? Well, you have met both my brother and sister now. So I am so happy that I get to bring the incredible things that my siblings are doing to you all as Illuminate listeners. I really hope that you enjoyed this and learned some new things from Amy, right? Whether it is maybe starting your own business and what that would take, or realizing that if you have a passion, if you have a love for something, there is absolutely a way for you to pursue it and incorporate that into your life. So I definitely want you to think about that as we continue our year together. Find your passion, find what you love, and surround yourself with that. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time.